Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There is a hostage situation in a public school in Bailey, Colorado, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But first, this morning on KHAL Radio, Peter Boyles interviewed a candidate for governor, not a Republican, not a Democrat, but Clyde Harkins, who's running for governor with the Constitution Party. And Clyde, I want to welcome you to the studio.
Good afternoon, Bob, and good afternoon to your listeners.
It's great to have you here. And you're on Peter Boyles. We figured that's good enough for us. So I thought we would go through some of your issues. But let's first talk about what's going on in Bailey, Colorado. Now, the reports have been murky. The number of hostages have changed. But apparently, at Platte Canyon High School, there is a gunman who's claiming to have a bomb, perhaps in a backpack, who is holding two female hostages. There have been reports of shots fired there. That I am unsure, of course, as many of us are, how much is fact when something like this happens. It's hard to get the exact information. But we want to know, but really there are parents who are at a nearby fire station, also at a local elementary school. And those parents are there sobbing because their kids are involved and they don't have the information. So they're the ones we need to pray for, and also that law enforcement, that somebody there will have the courage and the wisdom to know what's right and to do what's right to try to end this with as little additional hurt as possible. Now, what I'd like to do, even though there's not a lot of facts that are known for sure, I'd like to go to Columbine dad Brian Rohrbaugh for a comment. Brian, we don't know a lot, but could you tell us what are your thoughts on the news that there's a hostage crisis? Two females, I don't know if adults or students, taken hostage at Platte Canyon High School in Bailey.
I don't know much. I've heard from a lot of people in the media, and television people are telling me that the film is very reminiscent of Columbine, at least the effects on the parents. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's true. We don't have enough information to know what's going on. Sounds like it's a hostage situation. Sounds like there have been shots fired. Mm. I don't know of anyone being hurt, and hopefully there won't be.
Right,
I'll tell you one thing I know for sure.
Yeah.
Is that this ought to be enough reason to get your kids out of school.
Wow.
Because while my son lay dead on the sidewalk of Columbine, I listened to family after family telling their kids as they were evacuated out of the school and brought back to their families. I listened to them tell their kids, you will never set foot in that school again. And yet, they all returned.
They all returned. It seems that we have a very short memory when it comes to paying for your own child's education or homeschooling your own child. People take what they think is the easy way out. They put their kids in a godless public school, and the consequences on a day like today, it becomes obvious what godlessness leads to, but the consequences are always devastating. A lifetime altered by spending 12, 13 years in a godless education system.
That's true, and what's really tragic about this is most of the churches in the United States embrace the schools as if they were some kind of a God-centered organization. Mm. And they hold them up on an altar, and they talk about back to school, and they model their Sunday school and their youth groups after the curriculum of the government schools. Mm. So there's no wisdom from the pulpit in all too many cases. And parents kind of go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And because the church doesn't have the courage to say, we're not going to raise our Christian children to be pagans, so we're not going to put them in the school. You know, parents just put them in, and the church says, hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
They can be salt and light.
Mm-hmm. So we need to ask Christians to be more bold and to warn others, take your kids out of the public schools. It's bad for your child. And Christians, especially any Christian who has their child going to a godless government school, that Christian has to come to terms with their responsibility to raise their own children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And on Judgment Day, when we stand before God And he says, why would you allow your child to be raised in a godless system with a godless curriculum? What possible answer could they even utter?
Well, the answer that I will be giving is that I am guilty and foolish.
Wow. All right, Brian. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Bob.
That's Brian Rohrbaugh, father of Danny Rohrbaugh, murdered at Columbine High School, and now another tragedy happening in Bailey. We're here in studio with Clyde Harkins, who's running for governor in Colorado. And, Clyde, you're on Peter Boyle's show. Peter's probably our number one morning show here.
He's the grandfather of talk radio in Denver.
In Colorado, that's right. And so you had quite an audience, and I'd like to continue that because it's a breakdown in government that leads to an epidemic of crime.
That's true. I think we've had a breakdown in the general culture, in the general mores of society, and I think that's it's natural, Bob, that that's going to show up in government as an institution, being one of the institutions of society at this stage.
Clyde, you and I have a history. We go way back.
Right, to the old pro-life movement back in the 80s.
That's right. And you are a brother in the Lord, and you seek to honor God not only in your personal life, but through the government. The government should honor God also.
Yes. You know, there's definitely a role for Christians in the public square, as you have done here through this station and through your ministry. Mm-hmm. There's clearly a role for that, and I think that there's the effort that has been made to keep Christians out of the public square in the last, say, 40 or 50 years has been just had a devastating, profound effect on government and on every other institution. Mm-hmm. It seems as though we're in significant retreat, and my position is that we shouldn't be. We should be moving forward.
Well, that's absolutely right. And people listening now might know that positions you've held, because you've been a somewhat public person over the years, running for office with the Constitution Party, and I've been on the radio for 15 years. And some astute listeners will think, hey, Bob Enyart and Clyde Harkins, there's a lot they disagree with, and they could really go at it with debates. And that's true, but I'd like to focus on some of the fundamental issues that we agree with.
Sure, that's fine.
And so I have a list of some of your issues in front of me. And what we focus on is that the government, the criminal justice system, should be based on the core of the Ten Commandments, like do not murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. If we take don't steal, just don't steal, and we look at what's currently happening in America, where our Supreme Court has said that if they want to build a restaurant or condos, they can take your home, kick you out of your home, and give your property to builders for some private development. Could you talk about that issue?
Well, that's generally considered to be an abuse of the eminent domain power that's within both the United States Constitution and the state constitution. Mm-hmm. And actually, there is no limit to what that power can be used for based upon the Supreme Court's decision about a year and a half ago. Certainly, the changing of the wording in the Constitution, which basically says that private property can only be taken for public use, is much different than for public purpose, which is what the Kelo decision said. So public purpose is defined very broadly, and that means if the city government wants to take your property, can give it to their friends, give it to a developer, whatever, so that they can generate more revenue. And this comes down to mammon, it comes down to money.
Right.
That's apparently at this stage, unless we change the Colorado Constitution or unless the state legislature says that's wrong, I don't think that's going to be changed. So I don't really think at this stage anybody's property is safe.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that this issue of eminent domain is in the Constitution of Colorado. It's in the U.S. Constitution. And I think that's appropriate because the government, well, for example, in the Bible, God says in Deuteronomy 19, build good roads. Build good roads. And in fact, that's in the context of criminal justice, because criminals like it when there's mayhem. And the government that will be righteous wants an orderly society. And to build a road, you sometimes do need property, but the government should reimburse the property owner at an extraordinary rate, so it's obvious the government is not stealing property from individuals.
Well, the problem is that a lot of these cases, when the government comes in and condemns your property, that means, and maybe 9 out of 10 of your neighbors capitulate to that. If you stay and hold out, you might end up with 10 cents on the dollar because what they're doing is freezing you out. Basically, what they're doing is, and your property may go down in value significantly. And so that's why there's so much pressure on people, you know, to capitulate to it. And then there's all the court costs and things. Most the average person doesn't have the money to fight the huge bureaucracy of government, whether it's federal and or state and or local city. They just don't. And so sometimes they'll agree for when they really don't want to sell the property. It's really not for what the Constitution authorizes, which is public use. They'll capitulate, and that's really sad.
Do you recall when the U.S. Supreme Court issued that ruling, a group started up immediately in the Northeast, and they proposed building a bed and breakfast, a hotel, on the site of, was it Clarence Thomas's house?
I think it was Breyer's. I think he has a big house in Connecticut.
That's right. And we called, and I made the very first reservation for a room at that hotel or bed and breakfast. And, you know, it's somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but things like that, that's a great way to show the absurdity and the injustice. When God said, "Thou shalt not steal," that tells us that there is such a thing as private property that God expects us to honor. And we just brought about 25 out-of-towners on a tour up to Lookout Mountain 2 weeks ago. We went to Buffalo Bill's grave, a neat area to go look at. They got a sign up there. It says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition."
That's a great – I've seen that actually as a bumper sticker, Bob, and that's a great
– it really is great. But not only – can individuals not murder or not kidnap or not rape? But the government can't do those things either. When the government commits a crime, it's even worse than when an individual commits a crime.
Well, you know, what's happened is that what the government defines as legal becomes accepted as moral in the society. And when that happens, the government – but governments basically can define anything. They can define murder as legal, which is, of course, what they've done in the abortion issue. And so there's no end to it. There's no end to it. I mean, stealing can be defined as legal.
Right. So they could take your house now legally, although it's immoral. It's not legal in God's eyes.
Correct. That's
they could
right.
Take your house to put in condos that might produce more tax revenue, and it's criminal. Then you mentioned murder and abortion. So God says, do not steal. He also said, do not murder.
But we have a little different maybe understanding of the abortion issue. Basically, we hold to the value that we would consider all life sacred and that we would give equal weight to saving the mother's life and the baby's life because I think that's consistent with what biblical doctrine would teach. That's my understanding. Because basically, if you don't do that, you are on starting on a slippery slope.
Well, okay, and we have talking points on our website at kgov.com. And they mentioned this very issue, the life of the mother. So I want to go there right now. It's just one sentence. Talking points on abortion for rape and incest. So many people don't know how to respond to that. And then abortion for the life of the mother. And here's our position on that. And tell me if you think this is accurate. In the case where a mother is dying from a pregnancy, the goal is not to kill the child, but to save mom. And if possible, the baby, the goal is to save both.
Correct. I think that's a correct moral value. I think right. That's biblically consistent. And that's basically what we would say in our political party, as we say in our platform.
Yeah, very good. So do not murder is not something that's optional for judges or or governing officials. That applies to them as much as it does to individuals.
Well, I think the general society, again, has begun to accept anything the government says is moral or legal becomes moral, and that's obviously a very slippery slope because that can be applied to every area of life.
Yeah.
You know, every area it can be applied to, and it's a very slippery slope.
It's absurd. And supposedly we send all these millions of kids to college so they could think. We get on a college campus, and let's say we talk about abortion, and they say, well, of course it's right. It's legal. And we ask them, was it right to own a black man? And they say, no. We said, but it was legal. and they get this dumb look comes over their face. It's as though they'd never actually tried to think for themselves.
Well, it was legal in Germany to murder Jews. That was legal.
That was legal.
And others, you know. So
right.
Obviously what the government at the given moment in time defines as legal is not moral necessarily.
That's not the arbiter of what is right and wrong. In fact, that's why we say that some laws are wrong.
Correct.
So obviously right and wrong can't be defined by the law. It's not defined by public opinion. We were in Europe, in Greece, and debating some tourists coming through. And they were arguing that America, our culture, is too Christian. They don't like that. And the world doesn't like that America's Christian. Therefore, we shouldn't be so Christian. And I said to her, you're assuming that the majority is always right. And she said, well, of course. The majority is always right. And I gave examples like you just gave. The majority said you can own a black man. For centuries, the majority said women are property.
Correct.
The majority didn't care if you killed Jews. And it was the first time in her life, she said, that she ever considered the possibility that maybe the majority is not right.
Well, perhaps the same things happened to their school systems as has happened to ours.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. That's a tragic but good point. You say in your literature, Harkins for Governor, that a vote for the lesser of two evils is evil.
Yes, because what makes something evil, it's not a matter of percentage. It's not a matter of 75 or 80%. Something is either definitely right or definitely wrong, and it's either 100% wrong, and there's no other way of looking at it. And so that's the way we look at voting for, in this case, a Republican or a Democrat.
Yeah.
Because on most of the issues, they're very squishy, particularly on a lot of the moral issues. And basically, neither party has done anything about the great moral issues, such as abortion, facing our country. And you can see that they're not going to be addressed.
Well, let's look at the example of Rudy Giuliani. Ann Coulter was on Fox News two nights ago on Hannity and Combs. And Sean Hannity was plugging Rudy Giuliani, the Republican former governor of New York City, for president, as he's been doing for over a year now. And Rudy Giuliani is pro-homosexual radically, pro-homosexual marriage, pro-abortion radically, pro-partial birth abortion. He is as anti-Christian in his outlook in his personal life as you can be, and you have conservative Christians like Hugh Hewitt, who I asked personally, he said he'd support him, and Sean Hannity advocating that these guys would make good presidents. And I'm thankful Ann Coulter said, Rudy Giuliani could not get my vote because he supports abortion. And if a Republican can't get my vote, he's in trouble.
Well, most of your Republicans say they do not support abortion. The problem is they don't do anything about it.
They don't.
You know, the United States Congress has had the authority in the Constitution. They do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
For Supreme Court decisions they do not like, they simply invalidate them.
Mm.
Most people are not aware of that. There's a provision they can put in any law that they want to that says it's not a given decision is not able to be heard by the Supreme Court. It's not able to be heard by the appellate courts.
Mm.
And it's been used thousands of times. And that's one of the ways they invalidated Dred Scott.
Where does that come from?
Well, I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. But it's used regularly in legislation. In fact, it was used by Tom Daschle routinely, Senator Tom Daschle, in all of his legislation because he didn't want people taking away the benefits from South Dakota.
Well,
you know, he would put it in there and say, you know, the courts can't deny any of these
this aspect
of the law.
Now, the Congress, of course, could have done so much to stop abortion, but Republicans run for office at every level, and they say they're pro-life. That's how they win their primaries.
Correct.
They get in the general election, then they seem to be a little less pro-life. Then they are elected, they're in office, and they actually typically do things to harm the rights of the unborn child. Like, for example, they nominate judges who are pro-abortion. And George W. Bush, for example, is proud of the pro-abortion judges that he's nominated and the pro-abortion officials that he's put in high government office.
Well, of course, you know, when South Dakota passed its law about 6 or 7 months ago, he said he was against that. I don't know if you remember that public announcement he made.
I remember that.
And that's amazing. And, of course, he is officially, I believe, on record. It's not real clear in the Republican Party platform anymore. But basically, he is for the exemption for rape and incest, as I recall.
Oh, yeah. He supports abortion for rape and incest. Not only does it harm women and it murders the child, but it gives you an insight. It's a window on the soul of the candidate.
Correct. Because, again, Bob, as you've pointed out and as I stated, something in the either biblically, it's either in God's mind 100% right or 100% wrong. Now, virtually, I can't think of a moral issue that in my mind isn't that way. And basically, you've tied it back to the Ten Commandments, and that's correct. And what you can see is we're going off the Ten Commandments as the basis of law in the country, and you're having increasing tyranny, increasing immorality being promoted from government policies. And, of course, you've noted many times on your show that basically socialism is just a form of stealing.
Stealing.
And that's what we basically have. And I'm not sure we're really socialist. I think maybe we're more fascist at this stage, meaning that government doesn't outright own everything, but it basically controls and regulates everything.
Right.
So, and that's actually what they had. And that's what they had in Nazi Germany was national. They called it national socialism. It's the same thing, national fascism.
And George W. Bush, we have, an economy we wish always was doing better. We have an enormous national debt, and he introduces another socialist Medicaid prescription drugs for the elderly. And the elderly are generally a lot better off than 20-year-olds who are starting families.
That's true.
Transferring money from young families to people who are retired and enjoy their lives better with yet another socialist government program.
Well, Bob, you know, you have a number of children, you and your wife, and we have like 8, 9 grandchildren, and even our own 4 kids we have. You just wonder how people are going to make a living in America at this stage in the game and, you know, what kind of life we're going to have. I think clearly that there's going to be a decrease in the standard of living. I think that's pretty clear. And I know a couple.
I can't predict that yet, based on what I see, but it could happen.
Well, if the current obligations are
worse
of the national government is $49 trillion, I'm not sure at some point in the future how we will even pay the interest on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things keep getting worse. I'll grant that. And the government, it's like people who need to walk 5 miles to get a bucket of water to live every day, and the government puts a couple bricks and ties them on their back. Says, okay, now go get your water. And every year they add another brick. You know, eventually you can't. But anyway, there's a lot of hard work and brilliance in America, and that tends to offset the destructiveness of the government economics. The last topic, we only have a minute or so. Gun control.
Well, we'd be for the full application of both the Second Amendment and, of course, the amendments in the Colorado Constitution, which it's even clearer and stronger. So that would mean, you know, you have a right to carry an arm on your person at any time unless you've had a record as a felon. Perhaps that could be alleviated or adjusted maybe after 5 years and no criminal prosecutions. But basically beyond that, you can see that it's the official policy of both the UN and to a great extent the United States government that we're not to have any arms in private hands, and that only, quote, the government security forces or the military are to have arms. And we'd be for the full implementation going back to the original way it was, let's say, even 100 years ago.
Well, and I'd like to go back to the way it was 300 years ago.
Right.
Where
right.
you just have the right to be armed, as we read in the Bible.
Right.
It's wicked governments that disarm the people.
Correct.
And I had an advertiser 12 years ago, and I met the business owner's dad. He was in his 90s. He said, my brother and I, we went to school in Colorado, and we would bring our guns to school. When we got to the one-room schoolhouse, we'd hang our coat and our guns in the cloakroom. And after school, we'd take our guns and try to shoot a rabbit to bring it home to mom to have dinner. And he said, nobody ever shot anybody. It's not the guns that have caused kids to become murderers. It's the godless society, culture, and the godless public schools.
Well, and the real absence of punishment for people who do murder.
That's a great point.
Basically the same thing.
Right.
Or who misuse guns other ways.
All right. Oh, boy, do we have time to run this commercial for Colorado Right to Life? Let's do that. Their banquet is on Saturday. Clyde, I'm all excited about it. So let's hear from Colorado Right to Life.
Are you concerned about the greatest human rights battle of your generation? Wary of Planned Parenthood's pernicious influence over your child's mind? Join Colorado Right to Life for this year's annual Light on Life banquet on Saturday, September 30th, 2006, at the DoubleTree Denver Tech Center Hotel. Hear medical researcher Eve Silver explain the deadly correlation between abortion and breast cancer. Plus, she'll discuss how Susan G. Komen and the race for the cure misled American women. Earlier in the day, attend a workshop on eradicating Planned Parenthood from your community from Stop Planned Parenthood director Jim Sidlack. It's two pro-life events for the price of one on Saturday, September 30th. Two opportunities to make a difference. That's the Colorado Right to Life Light on Life Banquet and Workshop to bring Colorado back to life. Let's restore legal protection to preborn babies and make women less vulnerable to abortion's deadly side effects. Purchase your tickets today by calling 303-753-9394. That's 303-753-9394. Bring Colorado back to life. Attend the Colorado Right to Life Light on Life Banquet and Workshop Saturday, September 30th.
And if you missed any of that, just call us at Bob and Yurt Live, and we'll make sure you get registered for Saturday night. 800-836-9278. Clyde, we're in the middle. No, we're near the end of our telethon for September.
Well, if people want any more information, they can always go to harkinsforgovernor.com. They can email me at clyde@harkinsforgovernor.com.
All right.
And I'll answer their questions.
All right. clyde@harkinsforgovernor.com. That's your website. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me as guest.
And you're very welcome. I want to let the audience know our last two pledges for our telethon. We have a goal, $15,000, help us stay on the internet for another year at kgov.com, came from Pennsylvania and Austria. Austria, we're at 82%, almost 83% of our goal. So if there's anybody out there who could help us out, boy, I would be so very thankful. That's 800-836-9278. Clyde, it's neat to have you on the same day you're on Peter Boyle's.
Well, thank you. That was a great discussion, even for 20 minutes on his show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a great discussion with you.
And I think he has a bigger audience.
Well, maybe not a more dedicated audience.
All right. There we go. Thank you, Clyde.
Well, thank you.
All right. That's Clyde Harkins. Thank you so much for tuning in. The telethon, we could really use your help. Call us 836-9278 or go to KGov.com.